guess I could cook an egg on you. Late night game time, coffee on the stove. Your sweet ice cream, but you could use a flake or two. Blue bubble gum, twist around your tongue. I don't want you to get lost. I don't want you to go broke. I want you.
Just cause I love you, babe. In every kind of way. Just a little taste. I love you, babe.
Welcome to another episode on the Duane Marrero podcast. This is your host, Duane Marrero. It's Wednesday. It's a gloomy day. Fall is in the gear, and this is episode 195. 194 is with Calumet trustee, Miss Kim Robinson. And I'm excited to have my former teammate. He's a Big Ten analyst. He's a philanthropist. Raphael Davis on the line. Raphael, good morning. How you feeling today?
What's up, man? Appreciate you having me on.
Catch us up in your world. I have Rob in the nest. Rob is going to basically dual threat this one with me because Rob is upcoming, and he's always been producing my shows, and I forever appreciate him. But he knows a lot about you, Ray. But for the new listeners, catch us up in your world. You're moving back to Chicago in November. College basketball started yesterday. So what's going on?
Now, right now, just preparing for the season, preparing for a fundraiser I got coming up for my nonprofit, Crew Life. I have the fundraiser October 11th on Purdue's campus, actually, at Ross A. Stadium. So, benefits youth, disadvantaged youth, pays for a lot of kids to be able to play sports after schools. We take a lot of kids on college visits. We do a lot of things like that. We mentor, give a lot of mentorship to kids and just give back. So, we got that going, and then getting into the season, just looking for a good Big Ten season. I'm looking forward to it.
How did Crew Life begin? What, take us back, and what? How did it all start with the foundation and you gathering your guys and helping the less fortunate and sponsoring kids for camps, hosting your own camps with OPS in Fort Wayne, Indiana? How did it all start? Take us back to the beginning.
Nah, it was just I felt a disconnect. One, knowing what I got when I was a kid, I mean, you was there. I mean, we were on the same AAU team. We had the mentorship, guys that we still talk to this day, guys that I would say played a heavy part in our success and gave us guidance, not just on the floor, but off the floor. And also, just in the summertime, being able to go hoop with your guys at the park, being able to be around different people playing ball. No matter if you play for your school ball team or not, you can go find somewhere to hoop. And nowadays, not only has the leadership kind of dwindled down, but also the opportunities for kids to be able to hoop in the inner city. Now you have to maybe play for an AAU team, go rent out gym space, get a trainer. There's no more really just going up to the Y and getting some real good work with the old school down on the other end of the court. So, and then we also came up with an idea for those kids who maybe they do have an opportunity to play at the next level. Maybe they do deserve a chance, or they have put in time. They do take it serious, but they just can't really afford to play basketball for the Indy Heats or for the Gym Rats of the world, where though we can find ways and we can help sponsor those kids where they can play for AAU teams and whatnot. So we find ways that way. But also outside of basketball, you have a lot of kids that will love the game as a child, but they may not make that high school team. So for kids like that, we teach them the game. We teach them how to stay involved with the game. Like you said, I'm an analyst, and that's a great way to stay involved with the game. If you're athletically challenged, like some people are, that may not play later in life, you could be a coach. You could be a team doctor. You could be a marketing agent for a team. You could do a lot of different things within basketball that can keep you in the game. You could run a social media account. You could do a lot of things. And we show the kids that. And then we also just show kids that, especially from my neighborhood in Fort Wayne, is you don't know what you don't know. So we take a lot of kids to college campuses. We bring in entrepreneurs to camps. We bring in physicians to camps, pharmaceutical sales reps to camps, and just introduce the kids to a side of life that maybe they haven't thought about. Because I really feel like there's in certain neighborhoods, you either feel like you either got to get real rich, you got to go to the NBA, or you got to make it, or you really feel like you're going to be poor. And it's you got to introduce some kids to some of of these professions that they may not otherwise be introduced to. So we use basketball and other sports as an avenue to just kind of mentor kids through our life.
Did you think when we were coming up playing and fast forward to, you know, 10 years later, that you will be covering basketball for a living?
Nah. That's crazy, right?
Right.
But, yeah, that's my whole point. I didn't even think that was a I wouldn't even think that was a place for me. I wouldn't even think that was something that I could do. And I can tell how the kids view me when they see me on TV and I go back to the neighborhood and they're amazed by it. But now they know they can do it. But now it's great. The Big Ten is a great conference. The network is a great group of people. I'm blessed with the opportunity. I mean, to cover Big Ten basketball is always going to be a blessing. So as long as I can do it, I'm going to work my hardest for it.
How did you cross the bridge when getting connected with the Big Ten Network?
You know, Coach Painter and I have a really good relationship. My wife and I were up at homecoming at Purdue, and I was talking to Coach, and at the time I was a sales rep. And Coach just kind of asked me, was I happy? He kind of asked me, did I want to get back in the ball? And I kind of was telling him what I would like to do, and he told me to think about this avenue, thinking about being an analyst, thinking about going into broadcasting. He had told me Robbie Hummel had just did it. And then I reached out to Robbie, asked him how he went about it, asked him if maybe he could put a word in for me. He did. And then long story short, the Big Ten ended up reaching out to me. It was during COVID, so nothing came about quick. But once they reached out to me, I just kept reaching back out to them. And I would every couple of weeks, I would check in with them, see if they needed me for anything, but they didn't. And then that next summer, that was in about December, I would say, of 2020. And I think August of 2021, they brought me in for an interview. And then we went from there. I started November 2021. Yep.
You remember your first day on the gig? What was that like, being on air and all the cameras in front of your face?
Now, I didn't know which camera to look at. Because, yeah, they got nobody told me to look at the light. So, yeah, I was just in there freestyling it. I was just looking around. I didn't know how loud to talk because, like you said, it's us at the desk. There's some cameras in there. The guys working the cameras, they do a great job. And then it's nobody. So it's a quiet room. So you don't want to yell, but you don't want to be too quiet. I didn't have a tie my first day. But, yeah, the biggest thing for me was not knowing which camera to look at. So I was just looking around. I didn't know. I didn't understand all of that. But then once you get used to it, and then you get used to somebody talking in your ear. And then one of the hardest parts for me was getting used to somebody going 10, 9, 8, 7 while you're trying to wrap up one of your thoughts. That's pretty tough to get used to, but it worked out.
When you mentioned Ty, and, you know, there's a lot of people who want to go to work, come as they are, and be free of themselves. But in a space like the Big Ten, you mentioned the tie. Were they heavily pushing you to wear a tie, or did you just wanted to go to business casual and just have the button up and, you know, the dress pants?
The first day, I thought I needed a tie because Dave Revs and Steve Bardo, the guys with me that day, they had ties. And
got it.
Lo and behold, my boss got in my ear and he said I was fine. So it was all good. The Big Ten, I mean, they do a great job. They let you be who you are. I ended up starting to wear gym shoes a little later in the season last year. So as long as you're professional with it, as long as you look nice for the camera, I believe they'll let you rock. So it's like I said, working with a network like that, it's been a privilege.
What's been other things you've been excited about yourself about? Because you know you're a girl dad, and you always love to showcase the family on your social. Has that been one of your biggest blessings, you would say, is being a full-time dad to both of your kids?
Nah, yeah, all my kids. So, yeah, definitely. That was that's the most thing I'm biggest proud of, is being the father, being the type of father I am, being hands-on. My oldest daughter will be 10 in December. So being a dad for the last 10 years has been crazy. She was born while I was at Purdue my sophomore year. So she got to kind of witness a little bit of Purdue, a little bit of the younger me. I mean, my son now, he just turned 1, so he knows nothing but Big Ten Network with me. So it's good that my kids get to see me in different lights. I mean, my middle daughter, she's 4 now, so she got to see a little bit of the pharmaceutical sales rep me. So It's a blessing to be able to see my kids grow up. My four-year-old is in the Spanish Academy, and she's talking Spanish a little bit around the house. She doesn't let me and my wife say certain things. She makes us say thank you in Spanish. She makes us say you're welcome in Spanish. She makes us count in Spanish, different things like that. My son is great. He's big and he's growing. But yeah, all my kids are great. That's really the joy. So if I'm not working, and more times than not, if I am working, one of my kids are with me. But it's one of the things where I'm one of those dudes that just really love to be around their kids, really love to be around their family. I see a big purpose in it, and I'm glad I'm able to do it.
You know, here in Northwest Indiana, we have a lot of season tickets holder for Purdue, Ray, and you're eternally involved with the program. And, you know, the boys didn't necessarily get over the hump, but obviously with this upcoming season, the first day of practice was yesterday. Where were you during March Madness last year? And if you could just trying to harp on bouncing back from that loss against, what was it, Dickerson?
Yeah, FDU. I mean, Fairleigh Dickerson. So, I mean, I was in the studio or in my apartment in Chicago most of March Madness. That was a tough game to watch, obviously. But it's one of those things where you win the Big Ten by 3 games. You win the Big Ten tournament. You got the player of the year in college basketball, but you lose that first game. So it's like you have a really good season, but then your season just doesn't mean anything. And it's tough as a player to kind of feel that way. So I know I was around the guys in practice a lot this summer. I was at a few open gyms and a few scrimmages and whatnot, and they were going hard. And I'm excited to see the boys this year, because those guys, they've added a lot this offseason. And they only added 2 guys. But in terms of the athleticism, in terms of the style of play, the confidence certain guys has gained. Like, you look at a guy like Trey Kaufman Wren. I mean, I think he could be a guy that could be an all-conference guy, I mean, by the time he leaves Purdue. So I think Braden Smith will be even better in his sophomore year. He had a healthy offseason. I don't know if people remember last year going into his freshman year, he wasn't that healthy in the offseason. So he didn't really get to have a natural high school in the freshman in college type of offseason. So this year will be a lot better for him. And Fletcher shot the ball well. I'm looking forward to these guys. I think it'll be an athletic group on the court this year, and that's exactly what they need.
How do you think Lance Jones will transition coming from Southern Illinois? I saw that, you know, I think, I don't know if he's a 6-year senior, but I saw that he graduated from SIU. But yeah. What's your thoughts about him? Did you get a chance to see him yet?
Yeah, I like Lance. I like what Lance brings to the team, especially when you think about Purdue losing to FDU, or in the past losing to North Texas, or when I played, losing to Little Rock, Arkansas, or Cincinnati. Purdue struggles at times to guard, quicker guard, to get out there on the island and keep the ball in front of them, man. Lance does a great job at that. He can guard the 1, the 2. He can guard some 3s. And he'll do a great job at keeping the ball in front. He can play with Braden. He can play off the ball. He can play on the ball. So he's a guy that can do a lot of different things. I don't think he's a natural point, which I don't know if that will matter, because I think Braden will play a bulk of those minutes. But I think defensively he brings a lot. And then also when it comes down to breaking somebody off the dribble, sometimes Purdue, they didn't have a lot of rim pressure outside of Zach Edey. He would throw the ball in to Zach Edey or get the ball off the glass on the offensive rebound and put it back in. Now they have a few guys that can really get to the basket off the bounce. And they have, I mean, Braden's gotten better at it. Lance is a natural at it. You got Miles Colvin would be one of the more athletic freshmen in the league. So I think I like what they bring, and I like what they bring athletically and getting to the basket.
You know who's I'm a fan favorite of, and one I'm going to start with, Caleb first. Do you think this will be a breakout year for Caleb?
I think it'll be a good year for Caleb. It's tough because he's still playing behind Zach. I think Zach obviously will be up, probably be player of the year again. So when you're playing behind a player of the year, it's not much you can do. But I think if Caleb can come in and shoot the ball confidently and bring something offensively, I think he'll have a really good year. I think it'll be tough for Purdue this year, man. I think with Trey Kaufman Wren, with Zach Edey, Mason Gillis, and Caleb first, I think that's one of the best front lines in the country. So I think it's going to be one of those 4 guys is going to be tough not to play. It's going to be tough to play him. And I know Zach is going to play. And after watching this summer, I know TKR is going to play. So yeah. I think it's going to come down to Mason and Caleb, and whichever one of those guys really busts tail in practice, that's what's going to be on the floor. But you can always see it for Caleb since his freshman year, the athleticism, the physical tools he has, what he can do defensively, offensively. I think he's got to come into his own and just start making shots from perimeter, and I think that'll help a lot for him.
I think also, too, being Mason, being the blue-collar guy he is for the Boilermakers, and I've watched him. He plays hard on both ends of the floor. And I love the way he competes and he goes after it. And Trey Kaufman, was it Indiana League he played for?
I'm not sure.
He gave us work, though, for Gym Rats, man. And I think he redshirted this past year, didn't he? Or was he out? Or
he redshirted his freshman year. He was injured, and then he just played spot minutes this past season. So this past season, he was the guy that didn't play. And you could tell that motivated him. He didn't go into the portal. He didn't go cry about it. He went into the gym. And you could see the difference. I mean, I was at a scrimmage in practice one day. And, I mean, Zach's on the floor. I mean, Braden's on the floor. Everybody's playing. And TKR was the best player that day. I mean, he was going right at Zach, finishing over him, making shots at the perimeter. So you could tell he's really put a lot of time into his game and really crafted how he's going to make it work playing with Zach, but also being the go-to guy when Zach is off the floor.
Did you think that Fletcher Loyer was going to have the season that he had last year, being that he was a freshman coming from Homestead out in the Fort Wayne area?
After I talked to Paint one time when he was on campus, I knew it. Because, I mean, Paint's not one of those guys that's really going to – he's not going to blow you any smoke. He's going to tell you how it is, and you can understand why Paint would like Fletcher, and why Fletcher would play. I mean, he plays hard. He listens. He's going to do exactly what you tell him to do. He can make shots. He can stretch the floor. You have to respect his jump shot, and then he's just not scared. Fletcher's just, one thing that did surprise me was his toughness in the way of not being scared of the moment. I look at the game at Nebraska. I mean, they were throwing the kitchen sink at Zach. They were triple teaming him. They were throwing four people on him. And Fletcher really took over the game in that second half and really won the game for Purdue. I mean, he took 21 shots on the road. I think he scored 21 points or something like that. So when you're a freshman, you step up in those big-time games, those must-win games on the road, it just shows how much moxie you have. And I think Fletcher showed that. Because, I mean, you always know Fletcher can hoop. I mean,
right.
You know Fletcher can make shots. You know he can shoot it from deep. You know what he brings to the table. But that level of, I'm not a chump, I'm not scared, I'm not going back down. Even defensively, sometimes he wasn't the quickest guy on the floor, but he tried. He gave effort. And, I mean, that's what you want. You can see his growth from his freshman to sophomore year. I don't think it'll be a typical freshman to sophomore. I think you gotta look at Fletcher Loyer as kind of skipping his sophomore year. You look at the experience he had as a freshman. He was out there on the floor in big-time moments. He's really in the upperclassman role, because freshmen don't get the opportunities he was able to get this past season. So I'm really looking forward to him, man. I think with guys like Lance Jones, with guys like Miles Colvin and Cam Heidi and Waddell, and those guys being able to get to the basket, it's really going to help Fletcher be able to stretch the floor and make shots at a higher clip.
I'm excited to see Fletch and hopefully get some coverage of him, me personally, because covering him in the EYBL, he was doing this at a high level in high school basketball. He was one of the top 10 scorers in EYBL, and he was one of the most efficient shooters in EYBL. And to see this transition even over to the Big Ten was spectacular to see, Ray. You know, I have one of the fans that follows you on social media. He asks, Jared Quarles says, who is the sleeper in the Big Ten Conference, and how do you feel about the new teams being added to the Big Ten as well?
Say that again, man.
Jared Quarles follows you on social media, and he's listening to his radio show, and he said, who is the sleeper in the Big Ten Conference, and how do you feel about the new teams being added to the Big Ten this year?
I think the sleeper will probably be Northwestern. I think when you add more teams, it adds more competition to the league. You're adding, I mean, three teams that's been to the tournament in recent years. I mean, I think Dana Altman will get those guys back out there in this next season. So I think it's going to add more depth to the league. So I think that's going to help overall. I think the travel will be tough. I mean, you think about Rutgers going out to Oregon and then maybe having to come back home and play a home game. So I think that's going to be tough. So I think the coaches are ready for it. I'm ready for it. A couple more guys. It just adds more fun to the league. It makes the Big Ten stronger as a conference. And it should just be more fun basketball. But I do recognize the name you said. I will challenge Jared Quarles because that is one of the guys I remember that runs one of the AAU programs in my hometown. So just to, and I know with AAU comes the fee and like what we're doing with Cool Life and whatnot, but I would challenge more AAU programs, especially big time directors, to offer scholarships to kids, to offer maybe athletic training to kids, especially kids that maybe can't afford $40, $50, $60 an hour. So, I mean, really kind of giving back in that aspect as well.
That's big time. And again, Ray, what you're doing is really dope. And to be on the opposite side of things about covering hoops, being in the Big Ten, having the experience to play in the Big Ten, you played in the highest level of the grassroots circuit, and now you're covering it. It doesn't get any better than that. And, you know, we live in a new age of digital media. Everyone has highlights. You're seeing very short clips. Have you ever reflected yet if we had that same type of engine when we were playing back in the day?
You know, I just watched – that's crazy you said that, because I just watched some of your freshman clips.
Thanks.
That Brian Newber, shout out to Brian Newber. I just watched some of your freshman clips from in Bloomington. And I think so, man. I think it was a lot of fun. I think we came up kind of in the era where social media was just getting started. I can still remember some of my early tweets having to go back and delete them. So, I mean, we came up when YouTube was kind of getting started a little bit, especially like hoop mixtape and all those things. So it was a lot of fun. I remember playing in the first year of the EYBL circuit. I mean, seeing how that went and kind of seeing where that is now, it's just been a lot of growth, which is expected. And I think the programs that are still around, they've done a great job, and players are getting better and better. The development is getting big time, and I'm looking forward to a lot of these guys playing at the next level. You look at a guy like Cohen Carr at Michigan State now. I was able to watch him in high school, cover him a little bit. And I think right now as a freshman, he's going to be the most athletic player in the Big Ten. I think he's going to bring a lot to Michigan State that they didn't have last year. And I think guys like Cohen Carr, guys like Jeremy Fears, guys like Xavier Booker, who play big-time high school basketball, they're able to come into a situation like a Michigan State and take a team that was already going to be really good, but turn him into a Final Four national championship contender. And I'm looking forward to it. It's crazy that I used to be able to play on that level. Now we get to cover that level. Now we get to cover college basketball. It's just great to see it all come together.
You speak of Xavier Booker. For those who don't know, Xavier Booker was highly recruited, five-star. He is one of the guys that was highly recruited, played for an independent program, George Hill out of Indianapolis. And, you know, he gets a lot of criticism, Ray, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people ask about your opinion. But on air, what's your thoughts about Xavier Booker transitioning over to Michigan State and playing for a guy like Izzo?
Izzo's a guy where Izzo has the three L's, I think he calls it, where you can't like it, you can't love it, you got to live it. And you got to live hoop at Michigan State. If you want to be one of those guys that comes in as a freshman and you leave off in your first or second year to the NBA, you got to live hoop. And Izzo's going to get it out of you. He's not going to deal with a guy that just likes to play basketball or just likes to shoot around in the gym and just come in and get work. Izzo wants dogs, and you will see it early. If he plays, that means he's put in work this summer. He's put in work this fall. But if he doesn't play, that just means Izzo isn't seeing something that he wants to. And it's early. I mean, he's still early for him, and it was kind of like he blew up overnight a little bit. So it's still early. He's still adding some weight to his body. He's still figuring out his game. But his measurables and his intangible things he can do, I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. I mean, he can jump out the gym. He can shoot the ball from three. He's around 6'10". He can block shots with both hands. He can handle the basketball in transition. But it's all about putting all that together. You got really good pro potential and NBA potential, but not be a really good college player. And I think for a guy like Xavier Booker, I think his motor is going to have to be high level. I think his ability to rebound is going to have to be high level. His ability to play without the basketball and go do the little things as a freshman is going to have to be at a high level. And I think if he does all those things, not only will it help set himself up, but it'll set Michigan State up for a national championship run. Because I've seen him play in person. I've covered his games. I've called a couple of his games. And he has what it takes. It's just about getting it out of him and producing it every single game. Because it's not like they're going to ask him for 30 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game. He's going to come in, ask to play hard, rebound, do the things he's supposed to do on both ends of the floor. And if he does that, I could see his minutes getting up there, but he has to compete with Maddox and Sokol for that.
Yeah, that's awesome, and great take, Ray. And staying in the Big Ten column, you know, one of your own, Kenny catches in overtime. And, you know, I don't always see Boilermakers cross over to that lane, and then you see Cannon in this production. And I think Ben Cardi actually tweeted about him being one of the top guys who were kind of in the dark horse sleeper column, and he was a standout. You know, what's your thoughts about overtime elite and Cannon Catchings being in that space, like leaving an Indiana school, because Cannon was kind of getting pushback in this modern day era of basketball for high school players?
I mean, yeah, I got pushed back. I remember I left Southside and went
That's
to Lillamere
right.
for my senior year, and I got pushed back. I mean, I take my kids into Southside High School right now, and the pictures from my junior year out of the team photo album by the gym is no longer there. The coach didn't appreciate me leaving that much that he decided to take not just me down, but the whole team. So I remember they wrote about me in the newspaper. They changed the rules that year. I can remember being a junior. I was an Indiana junior all-star. I mean, Hunter Perea was a junior all-star. He was at Lillamere at the time. And then come my senior year, the rules get changed. Now we can no longer participate in Indiana all-star games. So things like that went on. But, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's always good to go play around, play better competition. I mean, and it's not just about the games. I mean, you think about the practices he's going to be in every single day, the workouts he's going to be in, the guys he's going to be around. I mean, the freedom he's going to have off the court, so the level of maturity he's going to have to grow into. I mean, that's a big one. I remember going to Lillamere. I'm 3 hours away from my home, and I have to figure it out some days. I have to figure things out, and I have to sit through it, and I can't just run home to my mom. And that's a big thing, because when you get to college, some kids can make it, some kids can't socially.
Right.
And I think that that'll be a big step for him. But athletically, I mean, he's a guy that can compete with anybody in the country athletically. I got to see him a couple weeks ago at Purdue in Open Gym. I mean, he looks like he can come in right now and give you spot minutes. So I'm excited to see where he grows and how his jumper develops. Because he can come in, he can shoot the ball well, and he can attack the rim off the bounce like he already can. I think he's going to be one of those special players at Purdue. You get he and you get Miles Coven on the wing together. I mean, it'll be big time. But, I mean, I'm all for guys going to get better competition. I mean, you'd be surprised how many guys from Indiana basketball going into a college situation, a high-level situation, don't know how to play with a shot clock, don't know how important it is to move the basketball because you can't just hold it. So, I mean, I think Indiana basketball is good. I think it has its spots for some players, and I think for a guy like Kenny Catching, I mean, it doesn't hurt him to go play against better talent.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of people care. I mean, I know a lot of people care about winning state championships and this, that, and the third, but for some kids, it's better to go and get better. And it goes, so sometimes you got to go and prepare for your future. You got to sacrifice a lot. And I mean, a kid going all the way to Georgia from Indiana, I mean, that's not easy on him every single day to be away from his family. But he's got to prepare for his future, and I support his decision.
That's big time. Great take again, Ray. And, you know, you've covered so many games, and obviously Purdue and IU is iconic and has so much rich history. But outside of that rivalry game, what was one of your other favorite rivalry games or games you got a chance to cover and see that?
Playing or see?
See, covering, yep.
One of the best games I got to cover was like a triple overtime, something like that. It was Northwestern, and I want to say it was Maryland. And it was at Northwestern. It felt like neither team wanted to win. This was my first season. And, I mean, games like that, when you're in the studio until 12:30, 1 in the morning, and you just watching hoop, I mean, you get to realize how blessed you are. You get to realize how good college basketball is. And it was games like that that I got to see that, oh, Northwestern could be good next year. They have some pieces. They just have to figure some things out. And then the next season, they go to the NCAA tournament. So it's games like that, moments like that stick with you. I can still remember, I mean, Purdue at Rutgers. I remember exactly where I was when Ron Harper Jr. hit the shot from half court. So those moments start to get to you. I can remember being at Purdue. One of the crazy game I called, I couldn't hear my partner next to me. So we were calling a game. Nice. The whole game, and I couldn't hear him. So, I mean, it's it's a lot of fun that comes with the job, but Big Ten basketball is great.
You excited to see I went to a UCLA game to see Keon Brooks when I had to cover Bronny in L.A., and that was probably one of my favorite events. And I saw Washington play UCLA, and knowing that UCLA and USC is coming to the Big Ten, and more so Bronny, did you ever thought we'll get this far with the Big Ten generating the revenue that it's generating, but you're having West Coast teams come to West Lafayette or just the Midwest in general to play basketball?
No, I wouldn't have thought it. But, I mean, here again, when I committed to Purdue, I mean, Maryland and Rutgers, they weren't even in the Big Ten yet. I mean, they didn't enter the Big Ten until my junior season. So, expansion is great. I can still remember Maryland coming into the Big Ten. I think that year they finished second in the Big Ten. So, I mean, when you come in the league and you are a good team, you just put pressure on everybody else to get better. I remember Melo Trimble coming into the league, causing problems. He caused problems for 4 years straight. And I think change is good. I think change is good. Competition is good. I mean, you get to cover better players. You mentioned Bronny James. Hopefully he's able to play basketball at a full health again and be able to cover him and kind of see his development, guys like that. I mean, hopefully being able to cover a guy like Boogie Ellis, a guy that could just flat out just score the basketball at USC. So, I mean, it's going to be great for the Big Ten. It's great for me selfishly to be able to cover more basketball games. But for guys now, Oregon, they get to have college basketball coverage all the way from Oregon to New York. And I think that'll be big time to be on national TV all across the country.
Ray, as always, I always appreciate your insight. And I'm excited for this upcoming season with college basketball and a lot of new players coming in the fold. And what's your thoughts about IU, man, and the way Woodson has been recruiting and using the Montverde pipeline? And I feel like he's going after the five stars, right? That's always been like IU's tradition.
I mean, he's going after dogs. Right. I would say that. I would say Coach Woodson is going after guys that can hoop. I mean, Liam McNeely is a big-time high school basketball player. I think if they can land him, that will be big time for the program. But I think as far as this season, the ball is going to be in Xavier Johnson's hands, and I really like Xavier Johnson. I mean, before he went down, he was definitely one of the better point guards in the Big Ten. He can pass the ball with the best of them. I think Trey Galloway is one of my favorite players in the Big Ten. He plays hard. He defends at a high level. He gives you everything he has. But those two guys, they've got to make shots from deep. If those two guys can't make shots from deep, it doesn't matter what Khalil Ware can do. It doesn't matter what Mbako can do and those big guys down there. It just won't matter. Those two guards have to be able to make shots. And I think IU will have a hard time early in the season finding the go-to guy on the perimeter. Because sometimes you can, like you see with Purdue, you can have the greatest big in the world, but sometimes your guards have got to score. Your guards have got to make shots, because if they don't, you just don't get collapsed on. And without Miller Kopp being on the floor, being able to stretch the floor, even if he's not making shots, you have to guard Miller Kopp. I think they have to have a guy like that on the floor with those big guys that they have. Because they brought in some dogs. They brought in some guys that can really bang and can really replace as a collective what TJD brought. No one man is going to replace TJD by any means, but those four guys that they brought in could really help with that absence. But they're just going to have to make shots from deep. And I think if get guys like Gabe Cubs, I mean, guys like that, I mean, as a freshman, maybe come in and make some shots, but I'm really skeptical of how they shoot the ball from deep this year.
I know we're getting short on time, Ray. We've got about 15, 20 minutes left, and Rob's going to rapid fire you some questions, but my last two, I want to get your thoughts and insight. Was one, you got to work with ESPN's national recruiting director Paul Biancardi on a few games or coexisted with him on site. What was that experience like, man? Because a lot of people your age and really don't get that opportunity, especially crossing over from playing at a high level, then now you're working with the ESPN's national recruiting director Biancardi. What was that like?
Coach is great. Coach Biancardi, I mean, he is great. I mean, he gave me a vote of confidence the first time I met him. I mean, he just was kind of like, you know the game. You know who, be confident in how you speak, be confident in your takes. But learning from him has been great. Kind of seeing how he goes about his business has been great. Seeing him still where he is in his career, still give back to kids and still host his camps. All of that stuff has been great because, I mean, Coach obviously knows the game. He can talk the game, but his insight and his takes and his knowledge outside of just having his headphones on, that's what's really helped. And I think the way he relates to still the culture of basketball, high school culture of basketball, is big time. I can still remember him covering our game. I mean, he still remembers that. So, I mean, it's things like that that really shows that he cares and has a passion about what he's doing on a day-to-day. But learning from Coach has been it's been something, like you said, not a lot of people in our age bracket, our position, get to learn from a living legend. But that's kind of what I feel like I'm able to do, especially through Paragon, through the NIBC, and I'm looking forward to doing this some more.
That's big time. And shout-out to Coach Ben Cardi, one of my favorite human beings. And, you know, Rob has your Purdue basketball photo up, and it reminds me of Boulder, Colorado, Deion Sanders and his crew. What's been your take, man, seeing Deion and what he's doing in Colorado, man, kind of shift the culture of college football, win or lose?
I think it's been great. I mean, it's been just fun to watch. I mean, a couple Saturdays ago, I took five boys up to Purdue. We got to tour campus, see the buildings. We got to go to basketball practice. Then we got to go to the football game. Then I drove them all home. And then I'm still up till 2 a.m. watching Colorado in overtime play football. And, that's just big time. That would have never happened for me before. And I mean, I'm in my group chat texting my buddies. They're up watching the game. I mean, it's bringing just a level of care back to college football from some of the audience. And I think that's been big. But what I love about what Coach is doing is out there in Colorado is just a couple of days ago, they released a video of him reading a message from Travis Hunter, one of the injured players right now. He wants to play. He wants to get back out there on the field. He saw those guys lose a game. And I know how that feels, sitting out games and you lose. You want to get back out there with your guy. And right. You're going to do whatever it takes. And sometimes a coach, all he needs to hear is an okay from the player and the okay from the trainer. Like, he can go. Sometimes it's not even he's 100%. It's just he can go. He can go. Or maybe he won't practice a couple of days, but he can go in the game and then he won't practice. Because that's how you can do your best player sometimes. But Coach told him, no, you're not playing. Your future is brighter than mine was, and I love you. So I think stuff like that, I think being a player coach, being somebody that's been through it, being somebody that's seen the outcome of being great, I think that stuff like that is needed in college basketball. Coach Painter was like that as well. He was a guy that played the game. You had an injury, he would sit you out. I remember I tried to come back from a knee injury too early. I thought I was going to play. He didn't even let me put my uniform on. We were at Pitt. So I think coaches like that that played the game, that's played at a high level, and that just really care about the kids. Because it's not you're not just coaching a sport. You're coaching life to these kids. I mean, some of these kids come in 17, 18 years old. They leave your campus at 23, 24 years old. 24 years old as grown men. And you're developing these grown men for life. And I remember Coach Painter would always tell us, no, when you're 40, 35, whatever age, you would say, no one's going to care what your free throw percentage was. No one's going to care how many points you scored in high school. So stuff like that, developing young men and developing character, that goes a long way, more than winning football games. And I think that's the big time.
Ray, Rob in the Nest got a few questions to ask you. He's been hearing our dialogue, and we could go for like 2 hours. And I know we got about less than 15 minutes, but Rob, I'm going to kick it your way. Feel free to connect with Ray, man. Ray's open book.
All right. Hey, how you doing, man? I got three questions for you. First one being, you know, you're an analyst coming from the college side of sports. Now, you know, talking about it, who are some of your inspirations that you had that were analysts that, you know, you would watch? Or, you know, everyone has their own way, but everyone gets little feeders from other people that you had out there. I was just wondering, who are some guys that you saw and you were just like, you know, I like the way that they do this?
First one would be Legler from ESPN.
Tim
NBA
Legler?
Tonight. Yeah, Tim Legler. NBA Tonight, I remember that used to come on when I was a kid, and I would stay up late, or whatever it was called at that time. I would stay up late, and I would watch it. I mean, I would watch that every single time it came on, and that was a guy that just taught me the game. I remember I didn't know with certain things meant on the box sheet. And you can learn it there. And then moving from there, you got a guy like Jay Billis. I wrote a high school ethics paper on Jay Billis. I've been studying Jay Billis outside of basketball, for over 15 years. So it's one of those things where reading his books in college, he had a book called Toughness that I read in college. That was big time. And then being able to actually talk to him and have a podcast with him, him being open to it. I mean, that was a big reality check too, because it showed that no matter where you are in life, to still be humble and still have a reaching hand back. And then obviously guys like Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharp. I can remember the 2013, that summer we sucked that year. We were last place in the Big Ten. So that summer it wasn't a lot of fun. So I remember every single day I just watched First Take. And that was just the show I watched every single day. I would watch it in class during the finals and whatnot. So that summer and that show really stuck with me. But there's a lot of guys. Robbie Hummel now. I mean, Jim Jackson. Steve Bardo has been a big mentor of mine. Bardo has been big time. I mean, even before I got the job, Bardo getting on the phone with me, having me on his platform, kind of teaching me the ins and outs of the studio game, being an analyst. I mean, guys have really gave back. I mean, it's been like a Doug Gottlieb, I wrote him on a DM on Twitter, and he responded with me telling me to call him. We had a 30-minute conversation, and he really gave me a lot of great advice that I think really helped me even get into the Big Ten Network. I know Robbie really probably pushed me, gave me a word, but some of the advice that Doug Gottlieb gave me, maybe to start my own podcast, be a guy that focused on Purdue, things like that, it really helped me develop a voice. So those guys have been big time.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are great. I'm a huge fan of Billis, especially when it comes to his draft analysis. It's phenomenal, which goes right into my next question. From the Big Ten, we had quite a few guys get drafted to the NBA this past season on the likes of Jed Howard, Hood Schifino, Trace. What do you expect from some of these guys in this upcoming season? Any of them you think can take a big leap in the NBA, or what do you think is going to end up happening in their freshman years in the NBA?
I mean, I think it'll be a surprise. I think Chris Murray may end up being the best pro out of all those guys. I think, and I said the same thing about Keegan Murray. And I mean, they're not the same player by any means, but Chris doesn't need a lot. I mean, Chris plays hard. He's 6'10". He can rebound the ball at a high level. He can make shots from deep. He can stretch the floor. He can guard multiple positions. So I think Chris will end up having a really good pro career. I think guys like Bryce Sensabaugh will have games where they can get hot. I mean, you really look forward to seeing with how Jalen Hood Schifino, how he could develop in Los Angeles, playing with LeBron James and things of that sort. But, yeah, I'm really I'm looking forward to this year, these guys playing in the league. And I'm looking forward to this. I mean, this group of guys this year in the Big Ten to have a chance to get there. I mean, if there's a guy in the Big Ten that I would say has the best NBA potential right now, I would go with Colin Carr, just with his athleticism, his size, his things he can do with his body. I think if he can develop a shot from deep, I think he'll be the next one.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. And this last one's a little tough for you, all right? We're going just based on college stats here, but – I'm going to need your all-time Big Ten starting five just based on college.
You said my all-time, say again?
Your all-time Big Ten starting five.
Ooh, all-time Big Ten starting five. I'm going Etwan Moore, my 2,000 points.
Uh-huh.
I'm going Glenn Robinson. That's probably the best college basketball player that ever played a game. Am I trying to win or am I just putting talent together?
Put talent together.
I'm going Magic Johnson at my one. So Magic, Smooch, Big Dog. I'm going Greg Oden at my five. Hold on.
Magic Johnson, Greg Oden, Etwan Moore, Glenn Robinson. That's about to be a
and
quote.
Want,
yeah, that's going to be a quote on Twitter. So be
and
prepared for some.
I want. Hold on, man. That's crazy. Because who's my four?
Magic, want, Greg, Etwan, Glenn.
Let me see. I need somebody that can stretch the floor. because now I want to go another Purdue guy. Ooh, because my first instinct was go to Purdue guy. I am going to go Frank Kaminsky at my four. Yeah.
Frank the Tank.
I didn't want to put anybody that I had played against, but I had to. Frank was really good.
So I'm going to tweet this out, Ray. We got Magic, Frank, Greg, Oden, Etuan, Glenn. So you have, in order, Magic's the one.
Etuan's the two. Big Dog is the three. Frank is my four. And Glenn is my five. Because I could. Yeah. Because Big. Whoa. Change that. Swap that. Take out Frank, man. Take Frank out. I'm putting Evan Turner in my five. I don't know where I'm putting him, but Evan Turner in my five.
Evan Turner. Noted.
Yeah, I said a Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah, that's fair. He'll probably see this.
Because I went to my freshman year in high school. I believe Ohio State was playing at Mackey. And Robbie Hummel went crazy in the first half. I mean, went crazy. He might have hit six, seven, eight threes. And then that second half of that game, it felt like Evan Turner just had the basketball the whole 20 minutes and went 105 and won the game. It was crazy. So, I mean, I got to put Evan Turner in my five.
I remember when Thad Matta, when he was at Ohio State, introduced me to Evan Turner. That was one of my legendary moments. You don't want to replace you may get some pushback, but how can we fit in Mike Conley?
Man, it's Magic Johnson, man. I'll take that pushback.
that's fair, because I'm going to tweet it out, see what engagement it does. It'll get some good opinions, and at the end of the day, no, this is great dialogue this hour. And, Ray, as a Rob and I were region natives, and, you know, we saw the headlines of Robbie Hummel, you know, going to a new chapter with Fox Sports, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, leaving ESPN. Did you get a chance to talk to him, or you know anything about that move, or that was just what was best on the table for him at this time?
I got a chance to congratulate him. I mean, that's about it. So, I mean, I'm happy for him to be able to still call Big Ten games. I know that's what he loves to do. I mean, he does a really good job at it, man. Rob's probably one of the Rob probably is the best young analyst in the game, probably one of the best analysts overall. The way he sees the game, the way he can describe it, the way he kind of tells stories with it, I think it's big time. I think it's big time for the Big Ten to keep him on. I mean, he's a guy that I've looked up to since I was, again, 14 years old. And the way he's been able to stay within the game through his injuries and really find his footing in broadcasting has been fun to watch. But I'm happy for him. I think Bardo is going to go that way as well. So I'm happy for those guys getting more opportunity. But, I mean, I'm just happy to listen to good Big Ten basketball.
Much respect, Ray. I appreciate you. Rob, any final words as we conclude this pod?
This was a great conversation, man. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I appreciate it. If anybody's out there, we Crew Life, Inc., we having our annual fundraiser October 11th. At Ross A. Stadium, you can find a link on my Twitter page at Rayfield Davis 3. Again, this is to support the youth. We just in August we gave out 100 stuffed backpacks and free haircuts to kids in the neighborhood. We sponsored over 1,000 kids to be able to play youth sports, whether it's basketball, tennis, football teams, boxing matches, and things of that sort. So if you're interested in helping out, partnering, volunteering, donating, please reach out and never hesitate.
There you guys have it. Episode 195 with Big Ten analyst Rayfield Davis. Until next week, have a special guest, TBD, at this moment. But, again, Ray, appreciate it so much, and I'm happy we were able to catch up.
Oh, man, no doubt, anytime.
Now rapping basketball. made this for. I like the way to dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So is Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball, but Mr. Kirch's flow.